Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias and Troy Hall. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. And in deference to our guest co-host today, I'm going to say good morning on the West Coast, good afternoon on the East Coast, and a great day to you wherever you may be across this wonderful country of ours. My name is Jason Dias, and you are listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show, where the radio is free, the ideas are hot, and the talk is totally interesting. Hey, you can have New York City, you can have Los Angeles. If I had to spend anywhere this weekend, it would be Seattle, Washington. And joining us from there, our guest co-host, you know her as the Q's next top credit union executive, but to us, she's just a very, very cool Tina K. Hall. Hey, Tina, how are you?
I am super excited to be here. Thanks for having me on. I'm ready to rock this radio show today, so I'm just excited. I'm excited for Friday.
I am too. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. And if you're wondering why Troy is not with us, it's because Apparently, the marketplace for speakers out there in the credit union marketplace is so desperate that people actually hired Troy as a guest speaker. So he's not with us today. He's out in Las Vegas entertaining and informing the people out at CU conferences. But we joined him yesterday, Tina, on the show. We had a special top secret interview with him and one of the participants at CU conferences, Mr. Tom Glatt Jr. That's junior, not senior. Tom Glatt Jr. of Glatt Consulting. And we had a conversation yesterday afternoon, and I said, hey, you know, how are things at the conference? What was one of the best sessions at the conference this week in Las Vegas?
Your session and discussion on the next generation of members. You know, I think too often we believe that that we should stand back and wait for Gen Y to prove themselves before they come into an active relationship with credit unions. You made a key point that I thought was well made and well received by the participants of the conference, and that is we need to understand that the cost of...
Well, Troy's session about generation talked about we can't stop engaging Generation Y just because we don't see an immediate return on investment. And Tina, I know you're into the generational stuff too. That's a pretty good point, isn't it?
I absolutely agree. And I think it's so critical right now to look at what are we doing with each segment of our entire, you know, target market, our population, and how are we addressing and reaching them?
And we talked about how, you know, I was speaking to Tom and Troy yesterday. I said, well, one of the things that we're going to talk about this year at all of our sessions is the value of being the radical difference maker. And we're going to place it in the context of, even though I'm not very good at math, I use a calculator, Tina, when I play Yahtzee. I mean, I am terrible when it comes to numbers.
Nice.
You know, I do that. If you're a waitress and you're waiting on me, you're going to get 10% because I can't figure 15%. But when you look at a mathematical equation, a large, protracted algebraic equation, it's the free radicals that survive. It's the free radicals that change the substance of the other numbers. And so we asked Tom and Troy, we said, you know, what about this concept of being radically different? And as always, Troy came up with the kind of the grown-up response to the value of being radical.
Important that it is radical with a purpose. It is not radical just out there all over the place, but it is critically take a look strategically at what.
You see, even when we have Troy, Tina, even when we have Troy on tape delay, the audience, the studio audience here prefers him to me. Isn't that amazing?
Well, he's just so inspiring. I really think it's his last name that does it, and his point is well made.
Well, the power of the hallway, no doubt, no doubt.
Right.
Well, you folks just heard from the studio audience, I'm the one that hands them the $10 when they leave here every Friday for being here, and yet every time Troy says something, they think he's the greatest thing ever. Well, they're partially right. Well, the last thing we asked the guys yesterday was, Tina, I'm a professional speaker. You go out there and do spoken events and stuff like that. But let's be honest. There's been a lot of discussion this year as we're all tightening our belts and watching our margins on the value of going to some of these live events. And we talked last week about how Texas Dow Credit Union pulled out of CUNA and the Texas Credit Union League, and one of the reasons they cited was a lack of educational content. And, you know, Tina, we all want to get our money's worth when we go to these conferences. So we asked them, we said, hey, do you think the webinars and the online stuff will ever fully replace, you know, going out to a conference? And we asked this to Tom Glatt Jr. Tom, will webinars ever fully replace that in-person experience of going to a conference, getting your name tagged, seeing your friends, enjoying the buffet? You tell us.
I don't think it'll ever fully replace. It's a supplement to, or one is a complement to the other. There's something to be said, again, for looking somebody in the eye and having a real hard-nosed conversation about core issues or conflict or the free radicalization of the credit union community that is difficult to have in an online world.
Tina, do you agree with that?
You know, I do, and I think it actually goes back to the second point that Troy was making is, how are you coming to this conference? If you're coming with a purpose and you're coming with intent and you're an active versus a passive participant, there's something that you get in that face-to-face that you can't always get through other media platforms.
Well, when we come back from the break, we're speaking of live conferences. I'm a little jealous because, you know, Troy and I both have live events to go to this year, but he got the first word, if you will, out at CU conferences this past week in Las Vegas. One of our first events this year with the Credit Union World on a bigger stage is going to be the NAFQ event in Fort Lauderdale next month. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Jessifor with NAFQ, who's going to tell people, hey, this is why you better come on down to our live conference, and also what else is going on at NAFQ in 2011. And we'll be with her right after this. All right, you are back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. It's Friday. If it is Friday, it's Radio Free, and we are joined by Jessifor. She's with NAFQ, and she's somebody I met last year at the 2010 NAFQ conference, which was also in Las Vegas, by the way. Hey, Jessa, how are you?
Good, Jason. How are you doing?
Doing great. We are so happy you're with us, studio audience. I'm sorry, Jessa. We get all the people here in the studio audience that couldn't make a career out of it at Subway. So you can't expect them to be too fast on the uptake. Hey, Jessa, let me ask you something. You just heard from Tom Glatt Jr. and from Troy talking about the CU Conferences event that went on this past week in Las Vegas. And everybody in the new economy is trying to make the most of their travel dollars. Tell us why people need to get out to that NAFQ event next month in Fort Lauderdale.
Absolutely, Jason. Well, NAFQ's Strategic Growth Conference is focused on the best income-generating ideas and solutions for credit unions of all sizes. So when the NAFQ team develops the content for this program, and really all of NAFQ's events for 2011, we take a hard look at the industry because it's changed so much in the last year. So we looked at everything from regulatory reform to the way technology is changing and how people access and spend their money. And then we identified credit union professionals and business experts that have thought outside the box and slogged through the mud of the mortgage industry, the corporate credit union failures, the regulatory changes, and then we asked them to come share their successes and their strategies for getting there. So at NAFQ 2011 Strategic Growth Conference, the attendees will get more than the basic talk. They'll get ideas, tools, examples that they can bring back to their credit union and incorporate into their strategic plan and generate income. Plus, Jason, you'll be giving the keynote presentation about generational transformations and learning to engage members that will never visit your branch or call your 1-800 number. So with all of that, I would definitely encourage all of our listeners today to check it out at nafq.org/growth and make sure when you register that you include the promo code SGRADIO to get $200 off. That's SG Radio.
Wow. So you mentioned a lot. It seems a lot of the theme is about changes, and I also heard you're making some changes to your website. Can you tell us about that?
We are. Some changes is kind of an understatement. We've actually completely redesigned and reorganized our website to make it more efficient for our members and anybody else that comes to us for the latest information and solutions for the credit union industry. We've improved the search engine so you can get information faster. There's an enhanced profile section that allows you to define your areas of interest like management or marketing. You can also shop the online store for statement inserts, branch posters, educational content, web graphics, and a whole lot more in NAFU's Marketplace. Plus, the site shows off our new updated logo and our promise to members that NAFU is their direct connection to education, advocacy, and advancement.
Wow, we're visiting with Jessa Ford with NAFU, and she's talking about their conference next month in Fort Lauderdale, as well as some gigantic changes they're making to their online presence. Anything else big happening for NAFU in 2011 that we should know about?
Definitely. I'm going to try not to get too serious on you guys here, but obviously you guys can expect the same high-level support, knowledge, and assistance that you've come to know from us. We'll be working to mitigate the impact of activities of the CFPB, Congress, and other regulators on credit union operations and services to members, and we'll continue to deliver superior educational opportunities and products that will help you as credit union professionals advance and ensure top service to your members. And our specific priorities include continuing to champion preservation of the federal tax exemption for all credit unions by educating legislators and regulators about credit union unique member-owned not-for-profit status. As always, we'll be working to enhance the value of the federal charter, and we're ensuring through strong advocacy that legislative and regulatory efforts do not result in additional regulatory burdens on the credit union industry. Of course, NAFU is always focused on advancing the value of credit union membership by educating Congress and the public about credit unions. We're also continuing to advocate for lessening the impact and cost of assessments for corporate stabilization and federal share insurance, which is really important. We're continuing to advance credit union interest regarding the reasonableness of interchange fees. We are monitoring the implementation of new rules and changes to the corporate credit union system. And as always, we're advocating for changes to assist credit unions with operational issues. So we're also continuing to press for credit union-friendly changes to Reg Z and monitor any further changes to the card rule. We're doing a lot. And also our regulatory staff is advocating for examination consistency and for exam appropriateness with regards to, like, concentration risk. And then politically, we're continuing to lend strong political support to national candidates that we understand, appreciate the interests of the credit union industry. And then finally, I promise I'll stop, we are continuing to provide credit unions opportunities to boost growth and productivity, educate their staff, and build best practices through programs such as the Strategic Growth Conference that we're doing in Fort Lauderdale that we just talked about in mid-March.
So you just mentioned a whole bunch of things that NAFU's trying to do to add value. Where do you want people to go if they want to find out more about anything that you just talked about?
Well, obviously our website, which is NAFU.org, and all of it is there. They just need to click through, and they can find all kinds of information about NAFU.
Well, listen, Jessa, last year we did your show out in Vegas, and I got to tell you, for me personally, and I know the musicians felt the same way, I thought it was one of the first examples I saw where you had that sort of older board member type, you know, attendee really getting into the message. I mean, I'll never forget, and it's on our Eloquent Online YouTube channel. You'll see, you know, guys that you would never imagine up dancing and singing. Jesse, you can probably still remember the sing-along, the Starfish and Coffee. It was one of my favorite events of 2010, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys next month in Fort Lauderdale. Thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely. You're welcome. And, of course, thanks to everyone who's listening.
Awesome. We're looking forward to seeing her. It's going to be next month in Fort Lauderdale. Check her out, NAFU.org. And after the break, we're going to get into the three things that we don't talk about at work, but should. Hi. You are back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. And, of course, Tina, I forgot the one thing I was supposed to do at the beginning of the show. Congratulations to the Green Bay Packers
on
your fourth
right.
Super Bowl victory. When the Pittsburgh Steelers won their fourth Super Bowl, Jimmy Carter was president. So I feel just fine.
You feel fine. I can tell. In the quality and sound of your voice, you feel fine about that. Yeah.
Well, listen, on the show this week, you know, you heard from Jessa talking about, I mean, the things that she listed that credit unions are thinking about this year. Obviously, all the cost, you know, things to consider with the corporate bailouts and all that kind of stuff. I was really impressed with the show they put on last year. I'll be honest with you, Tina. I always thought of NAFQ. You know, you think about them and their logo, the capital, kind of the political epicenter of credit unions. I wasn't sure if you've never seen our show before, it's not a PowerPoint presentation. It's a live musical performance. And I worried, would it play with their audience? And it did. And we've made a ton of changes to the show, and we're going to rock those guys in Fort Lauderdale next month.
Well, and I think what's nice about what she was talking about is I just heard this intensity about there are so many changes happening in our industry, and how do we keep staying relevant, meaning NAFQ, and how do we keep adding value? And I think that's really critical right now because so many credit unions need support.
I would agree. Listen, when we set up the show this week, I was excited because when we had you on the show back in, I believe it was November,
right,
of 2010, you had just won the Q's Next Top Credit Union Executive award. But a lot of changes have happened for you since then. Tell us about a few of them.
Right. Well, really from July of last year, I've been slowly working to transition into a couple of new roles. And I'm trying to make a bigger impact in the credit union movement. And so now I'm doing some international cooperative development, and then I'm doing some speaking and training and consulting on my own while I'm finishing up school. So I'm really excited. You know, I was talking with my CEO about this, like I said, for several months, and it's been scary and exciting and cool and very challenging. So it's just been a great opportunity to just move forward with.
Well, and of course, you left Verity, which was big news.
I did.
Yep, you left Verity Credit Union down in Seattle. Well, listen, the stuff that you're getting into now, which I love, and I always say this when I do my spoken sessions, and I thought it was so nice of Jessa to mention that we are actually opening that NAFQ show, because now that she hears that you're also available for speaking, she probably wishes she had known that before she hired me. So we'll see how we do when we get down there. Well, listen, three things that we're not – you know, we go to these conferences – to take ideas back to the job. And as I've evaluated the credit union marketplace and the other industries that we work in, it is a significant amount of time that people spend when they leave somebody they love in the morning or something they love in the morning, get in their car, get their coffee, listen to, you know, AM radio, they get to the job. It sounds like what you're doing is finding ways to make that experience of getting to work better. And so three things that we don't talk about at work, but should, what are they?
The three things I think are, one, critical feedback, two, the rules of engagement, and three, what's going on that's really great every day.
Yeah. Let's talk about the first one, because this is the one thing where I think I struggle. I've had some success as a professional speaker. I had a little bit of success doing what I do in that role. But that's me by myself. If I were to look back at my professional life and say, where were some of the areas where you failed, I would say it was any time the term manager was attached to my name. And that's because of the feedback component. I was just never very good at it. I focused on the high performers and ignored the low performers. Tell us how we do a better job at providing meaningful feedback to our team every day.
Well, I think the first step is really setting it up, that feedback isn't just a once a year or maybe even once a quarter process, that feedback is an ongoing process. If it's not happening every week, if not every day, I think we're missing the boat. You know, when Jessa was talking about all these changes that are going on, a lot of change can make people feel, you know, insecure. It can make people feel unsettled. So feedback is so critical in terms of just re-reminding people, here are opportunities. Here's where the growth path is. I'm looking out for you. Here's some ways that you can engage differently. And when I'm looking at the conversations that don't happen, it's really that, almost on a day after a meeting, you know, after a presentation at the close of a project, is giving that feedback so that there is growth all the time, every month, every week, every day.
Yeah, and you talked about the annual feedback. That was one of my roles when I was a manager this goes back to the late 1990s, working at Norwest Banks. They became Wells Fargo. And once a year, you'd call everybody into your office, and it was like people dreaded it. I mean, here it was, once a year, we're going to tell you how you're doing and give you some idea if we're going to keep you around for the next year. It sounds like what you're saying is that there may be a place for that in the managerial, you know, world of work, but people need something more than that, not every year, but basically every day.
Pretty much every day, you know, and I get it. What happens if you hold it off, then it becomes this huge buildup, and oh, no, now I need to tell this person that – gosh, anything. You pick something for feet. The blouse is too low.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And it becomes this huge buildup of fear, and it doesn't need to be that way. I think a lot of prevention can happen up front, and just sit down and talk with someone and say, hey, I'd really like to have this kind of environment and this kind of culture. You know, even what you said at the beginning, you know, there's some things about being a manager that you reflect on. You know, there's no manual. A lot of us come into manager roles not having managed before and not learning about it in school and not necessarily having strong mentors. So I think it's really just creating agreements with your staff. Like, let's work through this together.
Now, what about your second item? We talked about this yesterday in our pre-show call. Why is that so important?
The rules of engagement. You know, what I say to anyone pretty much on the first day when I have a new hire, I talk about my vision for the department, for the team, for that person, and then I also say something to the following. Your job today is not going to be your job a year from now, because I expect you to grow. I expect you to move into new directions, and you need to know that your job's going to change, and as your job changes, the expectations are going to change as well. So we're going to need to keep talking about that, because if folks get stuck in a mindset that my job is this in this box, again, we're missing out on huge opportunity for alignment, engagement, passion, and those kinds of things. It involves lots of discussion, though, and that's what I find disheartening, is so many people avoid these discussions, thinking that they're a huge deal or hard or tense, and just doesn't need to be.
Well, yeah, and of course they're big concern. I knew it was my concern when I was a manager that you're not going to be liked. It's just a human.
Oh, yeah.
It's a human behavior. It's a human tendency, and that's something else. We talked about how we're going to talk about the value of being a free radical in the new marketplace in the post-recession economy of 2011 and going forward. The other thing we're going to talk about at our sessions this year at Eloquent Online with musicians is, you know, and I know people like Troy go crazy when I say this, but put down the Excel spreadsheet, put down the marketing matrix, and think about human behavior and how that's impacting whether people are going to be engaged with your brand. And just so people know, Troy's going to be out next week. He's got some personal stuff to attend to next Friday, and Tina's going to be back with us. And next week on the show, we're going to take these three things that we should be talking about more at work but don't, and Tina's going to provide us with some real workable solutions. And after the break, she's going to tell us the third thing that we should spend more time talking about at work, and we'll get to that right after this. All right, you are back on the Radio Free Credit Union Show. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free, and today you are getting the MBA street cred of Tina K. Hall talking about three things we should talk more about at work but don't. The first one being feedback, the rules of engagement, and the third one. Why is the third one so important, Tina?
Well, the third one is what's going on that's great every day. And I think this is the one actually that we take for granted. And, And it's so important to remind people what their strengths are. And again, in the same way that the feedback is important, the flip of that is also important. I say this in groups that I work with. You know, I don't think anyone wakes up and goes to work and thinks, man, I really hope work sucks today. You know,
exactly.
I think everybody wants to go. People want to be appreciated, valued. They want to be in a dynamic and passionate culture. And that's where I think there's so many opportunities to just say, wow, in that meeting, this is what I saw that you did, and I loved it. Or, you know, this is how you did so great on this project. I appreciate that you did this. You know, again, just letting your team know I see you, or even just the sort of the glue cultural things of I like how you show up. You know, you just have the smile on your face, and it's so contagious, and I love that about you. And I always put it to a proportion. I think there should be sort of 5 to 1 in terms of always talking about strengths and building around strengths 5 times as much as we're talking about weaknesses.
Oh, well, the studio audience is clapping because at the end of every show, I usually turn to them and tell them how many times they forgot to clap. So they're thinking, you know what, Jason, if you would just build us up more, you could probably count on us being, you know, that to me, you know, we talked yesterday and you told me something about how you don't have a television. And one of the things that made you give up television was the 10 o'clock news, because it was 10 minutes of all the most terrible things that happened in the Seattle metropolitan area today. And I'll be honest with you, it's the very reason I stopped watching the news. I absolutely agree with you. In my role at Chetco now as a consultant versus a full-time employee, I don't work for Chetco anymore. I'm just kind of a consultant. I still talk to managers and people that work there. And somebody was talking the other day about all these changes that are going on, all the, you know, we're trying to tighten the budget up and all this stuff. And it's just not fun to come to work every day right now in certain times. And I said, well, I understand that, but remember what the expectation and the standard is. The standard is that the people that come to work every day at our credit union are the people they were in the interview. And it was like, you know what? I hadn't thought about that. I said, there's a lot of people who are going to interviews today and would love to go to a job where there's changes going on, but it's still a job. And I would say by the end of that conversation, we did all three of these things. I talked to them why they were such an asset to us. I talked about what made them, you know, visible and valuable to other employees. And then I said, look, focus on what is good. Stop focusing on what you perceive is bad. And I think that's a critical part of the work culture each and every day.
Well, and, you know, what I'd say to that, too, is we're so indoctrinated in the negativity because that's what sells. You know, there's a reason why the fights on reality TV get more ratings than everyone holding hands and saying, I really like you. You know, it's just that voyeuristic negativity so we have to be warriors against that. And I think it takes a conscious effort every day. And one of the things when I was at Verity, one of my coworkers and I, every so often we would just say, okay, we're having a little competition, and we're going to do 10 random acts of kindness before the end of the day. We're not telling anyone. And we just it's amazing to watch what can happen when you do that and in a very sincere way. And it can change the whole culture around, even for just 20 minutes. And
you just start
small and get bigger.
Yeah, it is amazing. With about a minute left on the show, and, of course, if you're listening to the show again, audience, thank you so much. This morning we went over 400 listens on last week's show on the archive. So we don't have a set time when the show ends. Again, that whole concept of being radical, we're not tied into those 30-minute parameters anymore. We'll talk until we're ready to stop. But what you just said to me is so incredibly important because people are conditioned for that. That's what I never liked about the annual review, because what you always ended up doing was talking about the last bad thing the person did at the expense of all the great little things that you forgot about because it had been a year.
Well, and or this formulaic, you know, I said two good things, now I got to give you something to work on sort of message. And, you know, I think that there is a way that we can do that with a little more authenticity and integrity.
Well, I know that everybody listening, and if you're just joining us and wondering where Troy was at CU conferences this week in Las Vegas, and next week has some personal stuff to attend to. And so we'll have Tina back on the show next Friday. And next Friday, she's going to talk about how do we take these three things, you know, giving effective and meaningful feedback, the rules of engagement, and the whole concept of spending your day talking about what is right versus what is wrong. She's going to come back next week and talk about some workable solutions for that. Tina, you've been an absolute joy as a assistant to the co-host, and we can't wait to talk to you next week.
Excellent. Thanks so much for the opportunity. It's always fun to be on your show, and love the music, and I'm going to dance to the Bangles.
Hey, everybody, download Walk Like an Egyptian. If you're somebody that works out on the treadmill, you do stuff like that, it's a great, you know, four on the floor, get you moving song. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. Thank you so much for listening. And on behalf of Tina and myself, next Friday, join us. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. And we'll see all of you next week.